Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry, and I am so honored to have as my guest today, all the way from Ukraine, Ruslan Mailuta, the International Facilitator of World Without Orphans. World Without Orphans is a global movement for every child to grow up in a nurturing, permanent family and to know their Heavenly Father. Welcome, Ruslan.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. It's really great to be on the program, and I just greet all the listeners, and thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you for joining us. You actually live in Boyarka, and we were talking. That's the same village that my two youngest boys were adopted from. Their orphanage was in Boyarka. So I just kind of feel like, you know, we're connected in more than one way here.
Yes, we are. It's probably most people never heard the name. It's a small place just outside of Kyiv. Your children came from this place. It's just great to know that.
Yeah. So tell us about World Without Orphans. What is the vision of this ministry?
Really, the name of the movement captures the heart and the vision for this. It's just a passion to see every child in a loving and caring family, and to see children stop being orphans. There are different ways how we can explain this, but one that I've come to appreciate is when we look back in history, and there was an abolitionist movement, just this passion for people to put end to slavery. And at some point I asked myself, what would happen if those people back then would be asking a question, instead of asking a question, how we can end slavery, they would be asking a question, how we can help slaves live a better life, or have a better education, or have better health. And those would be would have been a valid questions, but it would set their direction on a completely different set of tracks. And I think what really made a big difference is just this goal of let's change the essence of this problem. So I think we feel in a similar way when it comes to this challenge of having so many children without parents and without love. And even those who have parents or relatives, there are so many children that are in fact orphans because they're lacking this loving and caring relationships. So I think the main question that really drives this movement was, what can we do to not just help orphans or children without parents have a better life, but what can we do to help them stop being orphans? What it would take for them to experience true love and care in a family environment? What it would take for them to experience God's love and become God's children, God's sons and daughters? So that's really at the heart of this movement. And of course, it's not always possible, or it's always complicated and complex challenge. But there are many, many examples of this happening in countries around the world. So that's what this movement is set on.
So Ruslan, that's a very eye-opening perspective. You know, it's one thing to send, to build more orphanages, to send food or clothing or blankets or provide education. Those are all good and valuable things. But eliminating the fact that there are even orphans by having kids in families is really the ultimate goal here. Mm-hmm. So there is truly a global orphan crisis. And as an adoptive mom with four kids adopted internationally, you know, we adopted because that's what God led us to do. We weren't even aware of the global perspective on this. But preparing for Orphan Sunday several years ago, I started searching the scriptures and researching statistics. And then that's when I came to realize, and I realized that if me, an adoptive mom, a Christian for, I don't know, nearly 30 years, if I did not know that there was a global orphan crisis, or that there was even a national foster care crisis here in the United States. If I didn't know, then the person sitting next to me in church didn't know either. So, you know, we've heard the statistics. There could be, in, you know, 147 million or 163 million or whatever number you put on that. We know it's higher than that. It's impossible to really calculate that number. Do you believe that we can really alleviate the crisis and have a world without orphans?
No, that's a great question, and the one I often hear. And I think it does start with understanding what's really happening, the crisis itself. And I certainly can say, yeah, unfortunately, yes, there is a crisis, and it is global, and it's everywhere. I know that some people think maybe it's just in Africa or in Asia or in Eastern Europe. Unfortunately, you can see evidence of this in pretty much every country around the world. When it comes to numbers, it's difficult. I mean, we use sometimes UNICEF number, 150 million. There are more country-specific numbers. Unfortunately, there is no statistic yet that would really give a clear picture or of how many children are in a situation when they need this kind of help and what kind of help would be best. So that's something that we and others still need to be working on. But one thing is clear, that it is a global problem. It is a global challenge that has a lot of implications. But when we only look at the challenge, it does seem overwhelming, and especially for those who kind of go deeper and begin to understand and grasp complexities of this. And at some point, I think every one of us feels almost like hopeless. How can something change it, at least especially on the big scale? But at the same time, what's really encouraging is to know that any big scale change usually starts small. And it starts with believing that this change is possible. And that's why I think that it's very important from wherever we start in this work, we need to set our goal on the best possible scenario, which would be every child in a family. And then if you extrapolate it to children, all children that need it, it almost inevitably leads us to this goal of a world without orphans. I understand that it might be a challenging way of looking at this, but if that's how we approach it, it almost feels like we really cannot let ourselves to settle for something less than this. Of course, the question if it's achievable is a good one. And I know there is a lot of skepticism and some really good reasons saying there always will be issues that causing children to become orphans. And I agree. But I think when I was asking myself, if it's possible, there are a couple of things that I'm focused on. One is that it's something that comes from God's heart. Mm. This is really speaking into the reality of God's kingdom. So when this vision challenges us, it also challenges us in a way that do we really believe that God's kingdom is in us and it's transforming not just individual lives, but it has a potential to transform communities and cities and nations in some ways. So I think that's one aspect that you need to keep in mind. And another aspect is just to see that if you work together, if we set our goals right, there are steps, we can make steps toward that. And simply put, I would say that I don't know when and even if world without orphans can be achieved, but I know that significant large-scale change is possible worldwide and in individual countries when it comes to what's happening with children without parents.
And you and I talked about this. You know, we pray, we know, you know, we pray God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that in heaven, there are no orphans. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is achievable, but through God using his people. So,
and every time, and I would just want to add that every time we see this kind of transformation take place in the life of a child, that's what makes us a huge step closer to a world without orphans. So it's not just, we cannot just talk about big numbers and system changes. It's really, it comes down to a life of one child. So if in some countries, it's never happened. There are countries around the world that the child has never yet been adopted domestically, or there is no foster care, or it's in a very emergent stage. So whenever even one example takes place, I think it already allows us to believe that more is possible and bigger change is possible.
That's right. So, Ruslan, how can we rally the church for the cause of the orphan?
I think that's the key part of this vision. Because, of course, there are roles to play for the government, for NGOs. But I really believe that it only when the church globally and in individual countries and communities will be mobilized, that's when this vision will be becoming a reality, not just a nice slogan or something that is grandiose. And in order to do that, there are several things that needs to change. And one is actually even theology, how we view church's mission and church's role. Because for quite a long time, we've kind of got accustomed to looking at this kind of work, helping orphans, helping children at risk, as a social work, and almost subconsciously delegated it to governments and NGOs. When if you look at the Bible, what it really says about this, it's part of church mission. It's an integral part of church mission. So it's not a question if the church should engage in this or not. The only question is how church can do this best. So first change that needs to take place in the way we think about the church's mission and church's role on earth. And then, of course, we want to go to more specific questions. So how we can help people understand what the Bible talks about this. Because, again, children being in families is not a UNICEF's invention. It's not just science best practice. It originates in the Bible because God has designed it in the way for children to grow up in families. So there is a very strong biblical foundation for this work and for a vision like this. And then there are already a lot of great examples. A lot of local churches, a lot of Christians that have been doing this and have been championing this cause. And I think even make sure that their voice becomes the voice in the mainstream of the church. Because again, many of us, and I can speak for myself too, because for years, being a church leader, I never thought about orphans. I never thought about adoption. I thought that there are other more important things that we need to do. But after experiencing this for myself and kind of having this eye-opening experience, I realized that there are stories that are out there. And in many cases, people just don't know them. So simply put, just to summarize, two things needs to happen practically. One, we need to put this vision and this need on the church's radar everywhere. And second, we also need to help as many Christians as possible understand not just the need to do this, but what are the best ways to do it. Basically, here are children that need help, and we need to do everything we can to make sure that every one of them is growing up in a loving and caring family.
So it's not about building more orphanages or funding an orphanage. It's about getting children into families.
Yes. I mean, I want to be careful because I know that a lot of people have spent many, many years and have invested so much efforts and resources into institutions and building and sustaining orphanages. And I mean, I'm, again, one of examples because the ministry I worked with for quite a few years, we actually had orphanages here in Ukraine. But I think we need to, we are at the point when we, and I mean as a global community and again in different nations, we need to examine how we approach this work and then ask ourselves a question, how to do it best. So going back to those two things I mentioned, one, to put this on the radar, so that's still very much needed. There are still way too many Christians that just never thought about this. But then there are a lot of Christians who thought about this, and for whatever reason, they thought, okay, let's just build institutions, let's just provide shelter and education for these children. And this is, I know that motivation of most of them is right. But we really need to look at the heart of this issue and find a way that works best for children, because children deserve it.
That's right. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or global orphan care, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and joining me today is the International Facilitator for World Without Orphans, Ruslan Mailuta. He's joining us all the way from Ukraine, and we're doing this via Skype, so if you hear any funny little sound, it's just the technology, but you know what? God is amazing, and we have this technology to be able to do this interview through Skype. So just be patient with us if you're hearing some funny sounds. But Ruslan, how did you get involved in the orphan care movement? You kind of started to tell us a little bit about how you became aware. So tell us your story.
You know, I'm almost prompt to say that not voluntarily. In a way that, as I mentioned earlier, it was never on my radar, on my agenda. When I was a teenager, probably when I was 13, I was very clear that I felt clear calling from God to be in ministry, and decided to be in full-time ministry. So kind of I felt that the course is set, and it took me eventually to Bible college and then to be on staff as a pastor in a large church here in Kyiv. So I thought that I kind of have this all figured out, and I wanted to do big things for God, I mean, in a positive way, which I thought was preaching and church planting and teaching especially. And this is all good, by the way. But through a series of events, God really began to open my eyes to what's so important for Him, or what else is so important for Him. And there are a number of stories that I can tell, but one specific that I would like to share is somehow it happened years ago. I think it was about 16 or 17 years ago. I spoke some English, and I'm still working on that. Back then, it was even much more basic. And my senior pastor told me that there is a family from the U.S., a couple from the U.S., that will be adopting a child from Ukraine, just like yourself, Sandra. And he told me that they need someone to help them, and he asked if I can do that. And I clearly remember telling him, but I don't know what adoption is. And I'm ashamed to admit, but having by then like 6 years of theological education still didn't give me any awareness of adoption or anything that had to do with orphans. But he said he'll figure that out. So long story short, I've got engaged, I helped them, and the specific moment that I'm referring to took place in an orphanage, again, just a little outside Kyiv. I was sitting on a bench in a large room, and it was the time when this couple was supposed to meet their to-be daughter for the first time. And she was, back then, she was 3 years old. And so I was sitting on this bench, and on one side, to one side, there was this couple standing there, and then the door on the opposite side opened, and the caregiver brought this girl in. And I was just watching there, kind of fascinated, because I never seen anything like this. And what struck me, or even shocked me, was that, and I know that it's not like it happens always, but that's what happened back then. The very moment those parents saw this girl, I could clearly see that I knew it somehow, that it was their daughter. Mm. It almost felt like somehow she was lost in a different country for a few years, but now they finally found her. And I've been sitting there bewildered, thinking, how in the world that can happen? You know, how can someone, you know, not seeing this child ever before, now, what made it work that this is their daughter now? And it took years before I truly processed this experience and come to learn what I would refer now as the spirit of adoption, and how God makes us His children, just like that in an instance. But that was something that really touched my heart deeply, and I often now that I just go back to that moment and remember what I've experienced back then. And now, being the father of four and soon five sons, oddly enough, I had a similar feeling when I was present at the delivery of my children.
Wow.
So it's something that happens in a spiritual way. Of course, it was a very different setup. It was not an orphanage. It was a birth hospital, much nicer place. But somewhere on an emotional or even spiritual level, the feeling was in a way similar. So that's why I feel very privileged to be a witness to a child being born into a family through adoption, spiritual, I think, and kind of to to make this experience even more special, I actually had a chance to see this girl and her parents just recently, several months ago, when I was in the States, in North Carolina. That's where they live, and she's doing great. Wow. And it was one of those turning moments for me when I realized that there is something in God's kingdom that I missed altogether, to know what it is.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And I've been there. You know, I've been that parent waiting to meet your child for the first time, and the caregiver in the orphanage brings the child out. And it's a God-ordained moment. It's just undescribable. And I have biological children. And I had that thought of, what if I don't feel the same? What if I don't feel that instant love that I felt with my biological children? You know, how am I going to love these other kids? And I have to tell you that it's the same. There's no different. And, you know, the spirit of adoption, it there's just no difference. So it's miraculous. We know that. Ruslan, what would you say to our listeners about having an impact in such a huge crisis? What can we really do, you know, as the church, as an individual, as families, what can we do to have an impact on this global crisis?
You know, someone said that never underestimate what a small group of committed people can do to change the world, because that's the only way it works. But my suggestion would be to actually start looking around you. And of course, the global crisis is there. It's big. But it, the way it works, it's always somewhere locally. It's always in a town, in a village, in a city, in a community. So I would just encourage every listener to start looking around and start recognizing this crisis right there. Seeing children who have been separated from their parents or who lost their parents, children in an institution. Most likely there is one not far from you, even if you live in a developed nation. Because sometimes we think that orphanages are only in other countries, but I've come to learn that even in countries like Switzerland and Singapore and the United States, there are still quite a lot of children in institutions. So there is an evidence of this crisis very close to you. And of course, in the time, such time as we live, it's relatively easy to also see what's happening in other places through media. So I would just say, let's start with recognizing that it's there and it's breaking God's heart. It's important for Him, and thus it should be important for us. And then begin by asking a question. So what can my role be? And a great thing about this is, although crisis is big, and to do some things does require a lot of training and funds and connections, but there are many things at the same time that literally every person can start doing today, like right now, I mean during or after this program, that would make an impact in this problem, and that would, what's more exciting, would make an impact for a specific child. So you can start by recognizing this, seeing children that need help, and then start praying for them. I know a number of stories that I could share how I clearly saw how prayer made all the difference for a child to find forever family that they never had. Just, of course, it took more than that, but because some people prayed for that, believing that it's possible, I think that was the main factor and then advocating. Not everyone can adopt, not everyone can foster, not everyone can even be a volunteer, but everyone who speaks or communicates in some other way can be an advocate. And this, we need to get this message across about ending orphanhood, not just helping orphans to live a better life. This thought needs to go deep in our hearts and in our minds, and it to shape the way we think about it. It needs to shape the way we act about it. I'll just give one specific example. Because the idea of orphanage is so dominant around the world, it means that most people who think about supporting an orphan cause, they think, oh, I need to give to orphanages. And I'm not asking you to not do that, but I'm asking you, how this money that you give can be given to make a better impact, to support children remaining in families or reuniting with families or regaining new families through foster care and adoption. So that's where I think every one of us can literally start.
That's right. That's wonderful advice, and that's a great place to start. And that's becoming aware, right? And recognizing the problem, praying and advocating, spreading the word. So one person can't change the whole world. This global orphan crisis is huge, and it might seem like we just can't tackle it, and what possible difference could we make? So we might not be able to change that whole world, but we can change the whole world for one child.
Yes. And we need everyone for this vision. Going back to your question, if I really believe in this, that's where we need everyone.
Yes.
That's where, no matter how you think far you are from this whole orphan situation, I mean, everyone needs to engage in some way for this to become a reality.
And when a child has a personal relationship with a loving, caring adult, that mm-hmm. changes the life for them.
Yes. So I should give, I just should give a very brief warning here.
Yes.
It's as you are opening your heart and then making some steps, it can really pull anyone in much deeper than we think. Probably you and I are example. And yes. I'm just giving this warning in a positive way.
Yes.
That it can lead not to only transforming children's lives, but it probably would even start with transforming our own lives. And that's another great part of this. As we are opening our heart to God's heart for the fatherless and begin to pray and advocate and actually and do something about it, I think it helps us to understand how we can be God's children better. I think it helps us to embrace our identity as God's adopted children better.
Well, thank you so much, Ruslan, for your work on behalf of orphans in Ukraine and around the world. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sandra. It was a privilege.
And to learn more about World Without Orphans, you can visit their website, which is worldwithoutorphans.org. And if you are an adoptive or foster parent, maybe you work with kids in your church, if you are an adoptive or foster professional, anyone who works with kids from hard places, I want to invite you to the live local simulcast of the Empower to Connect conference. Justice for Orphans is hosting it on Friday and Saturday, April 8th and 9th, from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. on both days. It's going to be at Abounding Love Christian Fellowship in Ravenna. It's free, and it's absolutely worth the time and effort it would take you to be there. My husband and I flew all the way to Nashville 4 years ago for this exact conference. It was worth the time and the money and the effort to do that. You don't have to go that far to get this excellent training on how to connect with kids who've experienced childhood trauma and loss. So for details and free registration, you can go to our website again. That's justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.